Lewis to be the same to Charles. I can't expect Lewis to do that to Charles, and then when it's the other way around, it made things a little bit awkward. But
we need to see more from Lewis. Lewis was disappointing this weekend, and we can say Ferrari on general were not, you know, overwhelming, but Lewis, we can't use those excuses that actually he's getting used to the car. He should be up and running. He should be, you know.
He's a 7-time world champion. Welcome back, everyone. That is it. First race of the season. It's currently, I haven't got a watch on, but I'm going to pretend like I do. It's about 7:15 in the morning. We have just come off the back of the Australian Grand Prix. We are BoxBox. Welcome along in collaboration with BoxBox Club, of course. So if you're new here, make sure you do click subscribe. You can watch the video, then decide if you want to like it. But yeah, if you're listening to us, do give us a 5-star rating wherever you are listening to us, because it does make a big difference. And if you want to get involved with BoxBox Club, make sure you click the link in the description. There is an exclusive 30% off discount for you. Yeah, basically turn your phone into a beautiful little F1 hub, or your Apple Watch if you have one. Find out more in the description down below. But we have a lot to dive into. I think the race was an interesting one. I'm not going to say it was necessarily the most exciting race ever, but there was a lot that went on for us to talk about. Obviously, it was like rookie dominoes, and we will talk all about that. Max Verstappen, very impressive. Obviously, the McLarens look quality, and we do have to look ahead to China pretty much instantly, because that is going to be coming up later this week. So I believe this is the part of the show where you're going to tell us what's coming up.
You've literally just done it. You basically said what we're going to be talking about.
Okay, were you writing notes while we were...
I took some notes, you know, I always do. Before we get started, there's something triggering me, all right? You've got a Ferrari top.
Yeah, I'm a Red Bullari fan.
And a Red Bull hat.
Yeah.
I mean...
By the way, this top is quality. Overpriced, incredibly expensive. I mean, if it wasn't for a discount code, it would have cost me 80 great British pounds, but it ended up costing me still like £67, which is...
And if you know Luke, he is very, very stingy. So he won't even let you turn the lights on in his house because...
Incorrect. You walked in the room. Bear in mind, like I said, almost 7 a.m. now. The sun is out. It's bright outside. You come in the room and turn the light on. Unnecessary.
I couldn't see.
It's not about finances. It's about the planet, mate.
Okay, fair play. Fair play. Welcome along, everyone. So, yes, as Luke said, we've just finished watching the Australian Grand Prix, and there is a lot of talking points. Was it the most exciting? No, but let's crack into it.
It was entertaining, not exciting. I don't know if that makes sense.
I think...
It wasn't a particularly thrilling race in terms of, wow, look at the racing, but it was entertaining because it was like, oh my God, another one's gone.
I think... The thing for me, it was very much like there's a lot of uncertainty and a lot of things like, oh, well, actually, this is going to happen. And a lot of things didn't really
happen.
Yeah. That makes sense. But let's get into it. Let's just quickly start off. You know, we had obviously practice, but let's get into qualifying. Let's get straight into qualifying. Ollie Bearman this weekend. We talk about rookies. I know you've touched on...
Well, should we just preface this whole segment by saying, number one, you should never judge anyone off a single race.
100%.
Especially not first race of the season. Especially not a rookie. You know, like, tender age. And especially not when it's rainy. But...
Okay, actually, Ollie Bearman went off in practice one. He went off in practice three.
Yeah.
His gearbox went. He couldn't even qualify.
And that was obviously because of the crashing.
And he ended up something like, at the end of the race, 40 seconds behind. Granted, he finished a race. So, fair play. You know, at least he finished a race. That's good, compared to some of the other rookies.
Sounds a bit patronising.
That's not meant to be patronising.
Well done, mate.
Yeah, well done for finishing.
For taking part that matters.
It's going to be a big learning curve from this weekend. And, you know, you have reservations about Ollie Bearman.
I said initially, I said way back when he got announced, I'm not sold on him.
No.
And everyone came off the back of that Saudi race when he came in and finished P7, was it? In the second fastest car. Now, I know, again, circumstantially, very difficult, being never driven an F1 car, got thrown into a race. Saudi Arabia, really quick, really tight. But, like, yeah, for me, it wasn't like, wow, that was a really impressive drive. It was just like, oh, well, you know, he should be able to do all right. He is a professional race car driver. Mm. You know, racing in F2, it's not like they picked him up off the street and were like, you'll do, mate.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I think this weekend, it didn't confirm my reservations because, like I said, I'm not going to judge any of these off this first weekend. But it did sort of reinforce them a little bit. And I think it could be a tricky season for Ollie Bearman. And I've sat here every time we've spoken about him and said, I hope it's not true. Yeah. Like, I hope he proves me wrong. I'd really much rather him just do really well. But, yeah, you know, he almost ruined Max Verstappen's race.
He did. Yeah.
I don't know. He just isn't it for me. But I really hope he proves me wrong.
Yeah. But looking at qualifying, there's some standout, you know, McLaren 1-2, Lando, Oscar, solid pretty much all weekend. I mean, I know Oscar, we'll talk about the race in a bit, but generally that McLaren looks on a different level.
The car is mental. And I know we will touch on the race, but can I just say, if Max Verstappen was behind the wheel of that car, I predict a 2023 repeat.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
That's not me trying to criticise any other driver. It's me praising Max. And obviously we'll touch on his performance today a bit later on. But the car looks dangerously quick. Can I just say, I actually... You know, in qualifying, what was... They were hitting the 115s, were they not?
Yeah.
I'll...
It was eight tenths quicker this year than it was in 2024.
Yeah, and I think it was... 2019, Lewis's pole lap.
Yeah.
It was a 1:22.
Mental, isn't it?
That's like 7 seconds quicker.
Yeah. And I think when you look at... We touch on Max in qualifying. Max, that Red Bull looked pretty woeful in practice. But for some reason, you know, you look at Lawson, okay? He went out in Q1. Max Verstappen...
You can kill the man, but not the idea.
Welcome back, Checo. But that Red Bull is only... No other driver would be able to put that car, okay, what Max Verstappen does.
So here's my question to you, right? Did Max outperform the car, or did Liam underperform in the car?
Max outperformed that car.
Where Liam... Okay, I know he didn't finish the race.
Liam underperformed massively all weekend. But for Max Verstappen to put that car on P3...
Where do you think realistically that car should have been?
P5, P6?
Okay.
I don't think, you know... We, as I said, with the race, Max Verstappen shouldn't have put that on in P2 in a race. Do you know what I mean? I think when you look at that car, there's a lot of reservations... But for some reason, Max being in it makes a difference.
Yeah, I mean, Max is the difference, and yeah, we'll touch on Max more when we talk about the race. But quali was interesting.
Lawson, Antonelli out in Q1.
Yeah, Antonelli was a big surprise. I think Lawson still was a surprise for me. I think.
Lawson was a surprise, and can we please get away from calling Liam Lawson a rookie?
Liam Lawson is
he
not
is
a rookie.
Not a rookie.
He's not a rookie.
You see on TV, you know, oh, he's a rookie. He is not a rookie.
No,
he's had a stint. He's had two stints now in RB, AlphaTauri, whatever. He is not a rookie.
Yeah,
he's driven pretty much half seasons for each of them, and he is not a rookie.
No, he's absolutely not a rookie. And for me,
but. May I just say, this weekend,
he drove like a rookie.
Yeah.
I think he's the one rookie that doesn't have an excuse this weekend, because firstly, he's driving the best car.
Yeah.
As in, out of all the rookies, other than maybe Antonelli. And it was a diabolical weekend for him. But like I say, anything we say about these rookies, and I have prefaced this already, is definitely not defining of them. Yeah. But specifically for this weekend, you know, I'm not going to say Liam Lawson's not good enough. He should go. Or I'm not going to say Isaac Hadjar should go because he binned it in his formation lap. Like, but you can have an honest assessment about them. And the Lawson one, I think, is the only one where I would actually be like, the Isaac Hadjar spin in the formation lap is exactly what he said, embarrassing. Hmm. And there's no two ways about that. It is embarrassing.
But then Liam Lawson did a replica of it.
Yeah, yeah.
In the race as well.
Under safety conditions. Isaac Hadjar will have nightmares about this, probably for a good week or so, but it's just on to the next one.
But up until that point, you know, just finishing off on Liam Lawson, you know, the question is, this Red Bull seat, that Red Bull second seat, is it cursed? Because no one can go into that Red Bull alongside Max Verstappen and do a good job, because for some reason, that car is either set up perfectly for how Max drives it and that's how they're doing it, because no other driver can go in there and deal with it.
There's no chance in hell that Max is so unique in his driving style that no one else can drive a car that is set up for him. I'm sorry, they're all professional racing drivers. I think they've just made bad choices over the years. Honestly, I think they have. And I think Checo started off good. The bad choice was extending him.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of drivers have failed up against Max Verstappen. I don't think you can purely say that's down to, oh, it's the pressure of going up against Max, because for a lot of that time, Max wasn't anything. You know,
but why
did Gasly fold? Why did Kvyat fold? Why did Danny Ric run away? Why did Albon fold? You know, Checo actually did all right, but he would define himself as a number two. The mistake there was keeping him on for too long. And then you look at them putting Liam Lawson in the seat, which at the time we all said Tsunoda should be getting that. And then you look at Tsunoda's performance this weekend and you go, yeah, he probably should have got that.
But why are people struggling in that second Red Bull seat? It's mad, isn't it?
I think it's talent ID. I think Helmut Marko is maybe not as, you know, he's always the first person to come out and talk shit about other drivers.
Mm.
And, you know, he was throwing shade at the rookies. He called Bortoleto a B-grade driver and he called Jack Doohan a C-grade driver. Well, I'm sorry, like, if we're to go off this weekend, what does that make Liam Lawson? Because that was a horrendous performance. And I just think, look, it's way too early to judge. Liam Lawson could end up having a great season. And I, today, in my opinion, is not reflective of, or this weekend is not reflective of how good or bad he is.
But the thing is, with Liam Lawson, we've seen him have really strong races when he was in the RB or AlphaTauri.
But did we ever see him have a race that made him look substantially better than Yuki Tsunoda?
No, not necessarily.
I don't think he ever did.
But, you know, you look back at Singapore, 2023, came in, picked up points. He's had some very, very strong races and he's picked up points. But for some reason, I don't know if it's just literally how this Red Bull is set up, that some drivers just cannot deal with it, except Max Verstappen.
Yeah, I think
it's an interesting one, because I just think
that's a bit of an easy excuse.
Yeah, well, no, but I'm not being funny. What you've put, Gasly is a good driver. He's shown that in Alpine. Alex Albon is a good driver. He struggled. He's done well since he's gone to Williams.
Yeah, but do any of them have the mentality that you need to race for a top team? There's good drivers and there's great drivers and then there's, you know, all-time greats.
Mm.
Gasly, really solid driver, good driver. Albon, good driver. Perez, for...
You'd put them in that Red Bull seat over Lawson, though.
Well, yeah, I would put them over Lawson, but I wouldn't put them over someone else that hadn't already failed there.
Danny Rick?
No, Danny Rick has never been in that conversation anyway.
Kvyat?
No. I don't... For me, Yuki still should have got the seat, but that's old news. I think, yeah, Lawson, poor weekend.
Yeah.
But...
It's still early. It's still early.
Not defining at all.
No. Antonelli, I mean, was I shocked? I suppose yes. But for me, again, yeah. But again, first race weekend, he'll learn a lot from that. I'm not that worried about him. I think he'll go on and do well.
He's the third youngest driver to ever start a Grand Prix. I think the thing with Kimi... is there is a lot of expectation. So, you know, I give him more slack than Lawson because Lawson is not a rookie.
No.
But with Kimi, there's this expectation that he is the next big thing. So he does kind of have to come in and perform. And yeah, poor qualifying, but turned it around.
Yeah, he did. He did, very consistent. Bortoleto, solid, you know, apart from... crashing in the race, solid qualifying into Q2, mm-hmm. Out qualified Nico Hülkenberg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's something about him which I really do think he'll go on and do big things. I like him as a person. I like him I like his driving style. I think he'll go on and do well.
He looks like a solid driver, and you know,
but I liked him in F2. When he won the championship in F2.
Yeah, but he was great last season.
He was, yeah.
I think it's probably realistically going to be a rough year for the Saubers. Mm. Everyone knows that. It's the project.
But if they keep having races like today, they'll pick up points. Hülkenberg picked up points.
Yeah, it's... But not every race is going to be like today.
No. Yuki, solid qualifying. Put it P5.
That V-carb looks all right, you know.
Yeah. I've always said on this podcast, I love Yuki Tsunoda. I think he, as we've said before, deserved that Red Bull seat. Anyway, we'll move on from it. But he's delivering. We know this is going to be his last season with RB. He's putting himself in the market. And actually, he's...
Do we know that with 100% certainty?
I would say...
I know it's been speculated.
I would say it's probably 80, 90% confident. Because obviously Honda are leaving, aren't they?
They are.
So... I can't see him staying around in RB. And actually, why would you want to stay around in RB? Because if you're not going to get that Red Bull seat, you're wasting your career because you're never going to win championships. It's just never going to happen.
There is a possibility that Yuki Tsunoda ends up in a Red Bull this season. Now, this might sound contradictory because I've just said we can't judge the rookies off this race. Lawson's not a rookie. But even like, you can't judge him off one race. But let's just hypothesise here. Yeah, I think that's the word. Let's assume that Lawson does continue with poor performances. There's one man in the waiting for that seat. And we've seen Red Bull do this mid-season. Yep. They will make the change if it's not working. They would have learned from the Perez scenario. I don't know why they had to encounter that situation to learn from, because... they had seemingly always just done the right thing anyway and just ruthlessly cut people. But they would have definitely learned from the Checo situation. Especially if Max is able to pull that car to P2, right? They are in with a shot of at least getting P2 in the constructors. But you need two drivers. Unless you're going to have a driver that wins every single race, which they're not this season, because the competition is, you know, that McLaren is too good. They need to have two drivers that are scoring points consistently, and they will act more swiftly.
So, okay, in response to your hypothesis or your query, if Lawson does continue to underperform, as we say, I know it's only race one, but say he goes on for another, say 6-7 races in, mm-hmm. he hasn't picked up points, he's been very, very poor, would you replace him? And who would you replace him with?
Yeah, I would replace him. I'd put Yuki. I would demote him to the V-carb and I'd promote Yuki. Mm. I think that's completely fair. I think if Lawson you know, picks up in the first seven races, if he picks up fewer than 30, 40 points, and you know, Max is, I'd say if he picks up fewer than 30 points and Max is sort of, you know, pushing along nicely, they're going to have to really think about what they're going to do. Because, you know, let's say Max is sitting P2, P3 in the championship and Lawson's P9, P8. It's going to concern them.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously still a long way to go.
And if Yuki's still, like, you know, picking up points for RB, you're going to think, Jesus, what could he be doing in a Red Bull?
I mean, granted, Yuki didn't pick up points today, but he actually had a very solid race up until that, you know, the race.
Yeah, and it, like, look, Kimi Antonelli ended up picking up points, and don't get me wrong, he had a great race, but it was circumstantial that he ended up picking up points, you know, the same way in which Albon ended up P4. Like, it was circumstantial, and that doesn't take anything away from their drive, but what I mean to say is, Yuki Tsunoda not getting points today is not reflective of his drive.
100%. Williams, for the first time in 20 years, they had both Williams in the top 10 in qualifying in Australia.
The first time in how long?
Said 20 years. It can't be right. That can't be right.
That can't be right. Massa and Bottas must have been in there.
In Australia.
Oh, got you.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be very right then.
Williams, solid qualifying. Weird, because I was expecting Carlos Sainz to out-qualify Albon, but Albon this weekend, and I don't know if it's a fact for Alex Albon, because we've always said, haven't we, you know, once he has a competitive teammate, what will he do?
Yeah, there's a chance he could be exposed.
Yeah, and I know it's race one, but actually, from what we've seen this weekend, Alex Albon is thriving on this, and whether that's because he's matured a lot from his Red Bull experience and, you know, being the leader in that Williams team for the last couple of years, he seems to be thriving on the pressure, having someone alongside him who's pushing him to get the most out of that car. And this weekend, out-qualified Carlos Sainz. Obviously, we know Carlos Sainz went out in the race, but, you know, picking up a P4 as well in the race, solid weekend for Alex Albon. So
here's my theory about Williams, right? Because I think you're right. It goes one of two ways when you have a competitive teammate. You either thrive off the pressure and also the excitement about the team pushing forward. And that's what I think is happening here. Or you crumble and you get exposed and then it all falls apart. I actually think the reason Sainz and Albon will do really well this year is because they're bought into the team project.
Yeah.
And I think you see that at Williams, where Albon and Sainz, to be honest, have never struck me as egotistical drivers.
No.
You know, and that's also not a bad thing. But let's say your Charleses, your Lewises, your Maxes, your Landos, they're egotistical drivers, and that's absolutely fine, because ultimately, I know it's considered a team sport. Realistically, it is an individual sport. But I think in the case of Sainz and Albon, they're not those type of drivers. Doesn't mean they're not winners, by the way. But they're really bought into the Williams project.
Mm.
And I think that's why we'll see them do really well.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. And we've obviously praised Williams a lot. I have a lot of time for James Vowles. I think he's building a really strong team there, and I'm really excited to see what they can do. But it's actually just generally nice to see Williams back up there after...
Yeah.
And we've said on the podcast before, with all their history, to actually see them competing again is brilliant. Because, I like what James Vowles is doing. I think they've got a great driver pairing. And
clearly, whatever they're doing with the car is working.
Yeah, because it looks quick.
Yeah, they are, like, I genuinely think they'll be consistently picking up points this season. And it was unfortunate for Sainz today. I mean, yeah, it looked a bit strange, his crash.
Yeah.
Again, it's not definitive. Sainz has proven that he's not going to struggle this season.
No.
That is just, it was weird conditions, and, you know, a lot of the rookies struggled. Fernando Alonso, I don't know what the word for opposite of a rookie is, but it's attached to him. And, you know, he crashed and, yeah, I think it could be a big season for Williams.
No, I agree. Before we get on talking about the race, just so you know, we do have an F1 fantasy. So if you'd like to join, the link will be down in the description. Come and get involved. I think I'll probably end up having a bit of a shocker.
I think this weekend's probably been poor for me. We will touch on it at the end of the episode. We'll go through everything. But yeah, even if you haven't created a team, you can still create a team now. But if you have created a team, you can still just join the league and you keep all your points. So make sure you do it. Links in the description.
So, shall we talk about the race?
Should we go through just every team as we're going?
Yeah, Johnny.
You know, because we didn't talk about Ferrari's quali.
Yeah, we'll try and skip over that.
It was the Ferrari was disappointing all weekend. Really, I mean, it looked a bit more positive. It didn't even really in free practice, but quali came, it was poor.
Well, free practice, Ferrari were... Leclerc was fastest.
Yeah, Leclerc had some decent runs.
That's why I can't get excited about practice, because it gives me false hope.
Especially first practice of the season. I think we'll generally see a little bit more now. But, you know, like, you didn't see that McLaren pace until quali.
No.
They were, like... It's like they knew 100% they had it covered.
Well, yeah, like you say, let's start off with each team. Ferrari, very, very poor qualifying. What was it, P7, a P8?
And, you know, before you... I'm not going to insult any of you, but before you come at us saying, like, oh, you're not going to talk about Lewis being off Charles all weekend. Yes, we are.
Mm.
Lewis was consistently off Charles, anywhere like 2 to 4 tenths.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely bought into this thing of, oh, he's learning the car, it's a difficult, I trust it is difficult, but I want to see more from Lewis in China.
I think as Lewis fans, and as, you know, especially now going over to Ferrari, we do expect more from Lewis, and you've heard a lot this weekend, especially from Lewis, going, you know, I'm still learning the car. He explained in our post-qualifying, actually coming into the race, he's going to take a while to get used to it because he hasn't actually driven in the wet. He hasn't done the setups. And I get that. But he is an experienced driver. And
the wet, I do understand. In that, but one lap, I was expecting him, over one lap, I was expecting him to be a little closer to Charles. If not quicker, to be honest. But because it's not like we haven't seen it before, where a driver switches teams and they just... Gasly didn't come into Alpine and was off Ocon.
No.
You know, he came in and hit the ground. That's a completely different engine manufacturer team. Like, I want to see more from Lewis next week. And I don't doubt that we will at all. But...
The only thing that was a bit reassuring to me was that actually Leclerc didn't walk away with it. Because if Leclerc finished like P2, P3 and Lewis was P8, then I'd be thinking to myself, Christ, there's a big difference here. Obviously, Leclerc finishing P7, 2/10 ahead of Lewis Hamilton. I mean, I just don't think that Ferrari was good enough this weekend.
It's just weird. I always said I had reservations about Lewis going to Ferrari. I was excited for it, don't get me wrong. I mean, look, I bought the bloody T-shirt. But I was definitely... That team gives me the jitters. Is that the word? I don't know. It's quite early. Well, but, I mean, we saw today, right? You come to the race, Lewis is just completely unable to overtake Albon and... obviously Sonoda in front of him.
That was triggering me. Like 30 laps in, Lewis is already like, what, 30 odd seconds behind Lando Norris because he's stuck behind Albon.
Now, you know, if you're a Ferrari fan, the one thing you can take from that is, well, realistically, no one was overtaking. There was very little overtaking in those wet conditions.
That DRS was pretty much non-existent.
DRS didn't make much of a difference at all. But it was just... incredibly disappointing. And then Ferrari strategy again.
Let's touch on that then. So
every time.
Teams pitted, came in for hards. Alonso then crashed. Oh, no. Alonso crashed.
Then the
teams came in for hards.
Which that was a weird one. I know they have all the data, and it probably did turn out to be the right call. But I just think, like, wow, Alonso's literally just lost it, like, just driving. Mm. The slicks was a brave decision, but then you did see it clearing up quite a lot.
It was clearing, but obviously we knew rain was coming. They said in, you know, 6-7 laps, rain will be coming or whatever. And they said it's going to be Category 3, which is quite heavy rain. We then saw the McLarens go off, and we're thinking, okay, what do you do here? Because you either go on to get Lewis in and Charles, get them on inters, get them out, then they'll be in a relatively good position. McLaren's pitted, Max stayed out, Lewis was P2, Max then came in, pitted for inters.
And that was the thing. That's what I said when we were watching it. Just copy Red Bull's homework. Mm. Don't try and outsmart them. They normally hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
When they brought Max in, that's when Ferrari should have brought Lewis and Charles in.
Yeah. They left it too long.
And they pissed it up the wall. Yeah. They did. And then I think at that point, I know a lot of you are just going to say that's just stupid, but they had taken the gamble behind a safety. In my opinion, they should have then just chanced it. I know we can look at this with hindsight now, right, and realistically say, yeah, but that wouldn't have worked. Fine. At the time, you don't have the power of hindsight. At the time, they knew the rain was stopping. They knew that there was blue sky coming in. For me, it was worth the risk at that moment to keep them out on the hards.
Yeah, see, I get your logic.
The alternative is you finish outside the points. They only finish P8 and P10. What's that, 3 points?
No, 5 points altogether.
Wow.
Which could, well, you don't know, do you? It could be key come the end of the season. I understand where you're coming from. For me, it is simply the fact that actually Ferrari were just too late in making their decisions. They should have pitted earlier. They should, you know, that type of decision making is which costs Ferrari year on year, because they are so poor in their decisions. You know, we're sitting there going, okay, whatever Max does, copy it. Get him in, put him on inters. Lewis would have come out in what, P2, P3? Leclerc would have been...
He would have been in front of George, I think, so he would have been P3.
Yeah, but they didn't just...
Leclerc would have been probably just behind George.
Yeah, and then they just decide to actually keep him out a lap longer. Oh, now we're going to pit. By that point, you're getting overtaken by anyone. That's putting you down to P9, P10. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it was a disappointing weekend for Ferrari.
They
need to turn it around for next week.
This is the issue. This is what is always going to cost Ferrari, is their decision making.
But also, the car was not quick enough this weekend.
No.
So they should be concerned about that as well.
But then my response to that was actually, you know, you take your chances where you can. And no, actually,
they could have capitalised.
They should have capitalised. You know, Antonelli did. Hulkenberg did. Stroll did.
I would argue that the Mercedes looked better.
No, okay.
But I know they took their opportunities.
They took their opportunities.
Kimi Antonelli obviously finished fourth, but got demoted to P5.
Stroll and Hulkenberg finished ahead of those Ferraris.
Yeah, no.
That should not happen.
It's bad. But it's signature Ferrari. And this is exactly why I said it's a risk going to Ferrari, because they're not the team that we believe them to be. Mm. And when we all think of Ferrari, we think Schumacher, that era, domination, Ross Brawn at the team. Like, now it's kind of just like not really the case, and it hasn't been for a long time. But look, it's race one. There's no need to be dramatic. But that would concern me. Firstly, the pace, and secondly, the strategy decision-making.
One thing we did see, though, from Charles Leclerc, he is not afraid to get his elbows out.
Oh, yeah, him and Lewis.
And I think we'll see that all season. He's not going to be playing the team game. Charles Leclerc looks like he will do...
And I really don't mind that, you know? I want Lewis to be the same to Charles. You can't, you know, whether I'm a Lewis fan or not, I can't expect Lewis to do that to Charles, and then when it's the other way around, it didn't cross a line.
No.
You know, it made things a little bit awkward, but it completely fine.
But we need to see more from Lewis. Lewis was disappointing this weekend, and yet we can say Ferrari on general were not, you know, overwhelming, but Lewis, we can't use those excuses that actually he's getting used to the car. He should be up and running. He should be, you know.
He's a 7-time world champion.
Yeah, there's no excuse for that. So, Ferrari done?
Yeah.
Let us know what your thoughts are on Ferrari. What team should we go to next?
Should we go McLaren.
Let's go McLaren.
What a great weekend. I mean, obviously, didn't turn out to be as good as it should have been for them, but... Yeah. Oscar Piastri is going to be very disappointed. The team will be disappointed because it was a confirmed 1-2.
Yeah.
But they're not going to be too disheartened by this because they're going to be like, look, boys, you are both going to win multiple races this season. We are going to lock out the front row many times and we are going to get 1-2s in many races. So very strong race. You know, Lando did a great job. Piastri, arguably, for a portion of the race, looked quicker.
I have an issue with McLaren today. Team orders. Okay? It's race one. Up until, like, lap 30, Oscar was closing in on Lando very nicely. He was the quicker driver from the look of it. He was about, you know, it was under a second. He had DRS. He was looking good. He was catching Lando. And then over the radio, Oscar, can you hold position? Okay, why? It's his home race, for one, right? No Australian driver has been on the podium. It was a big thing for Oscar today.
Yeah, but he was obviously going to finish on the podium.
No, okay, but I mean, he could have finished
at
P1.
At that point, he was the quicker driver.
Yeah,
I don't understand it, and I know you had Zach Brown coming on all sort of like smug, just like let them race. It's just like. Well, yeah, let them race then. And I know what you're going to say. Oh, yeah, but they said it was to keep the lapped cars out of the way. It was the right call. Or, like, get them out of the way first. It wasn't really. Lapped cars move out of the way for you. Do you know what I mean? It's, the lapped cars were never going to be an issue as such. When was the last time you saw a front runner crash into a lapped car? It so rarely happens that, like, come on. It was definitely a tactic to make it. I'm not even saying they're necessarily prioritising Lando at this point. That's not the accusation. But I think they were definitely doing it just to remove the chance of any drama.
Yeah. I just felt a bit sorry for Oscar because I felt like he was on to actually take the lead. His pace was good. And a bit that triggers me is actually, okay, Oscar, you know, hold position. Oscar then almost went off at one point, ends up being something like 3 or 4 seconds behind Lando by that point. And then they come over the radio going, you can race now.
Free to race.
What, after you've actually...
Yeah, great, now I'm 3 seconds back.
After, you know, and you could argue the case that actually Oscar may have been annoyed at that point, you know, trying to push or trying to, you know, those type of things when you're a team... When you've got a driver who's such in the zone...
That would piss you off. I mean, you'd be driving around, you'd be like...
Yeah.
What do you mean, don't hold position for now? Like, what? But, look. Disappointing for Piastri. He did end up taking Lewis Hamilton on the last lap, which got him P9. It's not the haul of points that he should have got, which would have been, you know, 18 points. If not 25. But McLaren are not going to be... really too disappointed about losing that.
I was gutted for Oscar. I thought he drove a brilliant race and, you know, his pace was good. I do think he is going to be a real challenge for Lando this year. And I've said this before in the podcast.
No, I think after seeing that race, I actually agree with you. You know, Lando didn't walk away with it. I mean, Lando had Max to worry about and we'll come on to Red Bull, I guess, now. Because, yeah, obviously, look, McLaren won the race. The car looks incredible. Things can change. Look at where McLaren were even at the start of last season. But things can change very quickly.
But I think what McLaren did well today is they're, apart from that whole team order crap, their strategy was good. Their calls were good.
I mean, I still say that coming into the pit to put those inters on was a bit of a panic call. Yeah. I think it turned out to be the right call. But if Max had come in a lap earlier, they actually would have lost position.
Yeah, so fair point.
It worked out in the end. I still think that was a panic call. But Red Bull.
But communication seemed better with McLaren today over the radio than it has done for a while. Okay, do let us know about McLaren. Red Bull. Lawson, we've touched on. Had a shocker. He couldn't even get past the Haas. And the Haas was the worst car on the grid today.
One to forget for him. But like I say, not going to judge him off that. We'll look ahead to next week.
Max Verstappen. Phenomenal race.
What? I mean, I think I know Lando won the race, but that, like I said, the pace difference in the cars is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And Max genuinely could have won that race.
Yeah.
So.
Nice start. Took Oscar on the first lap.
Max is just, he's so good, isn't he?
In these conditions, he takes it to a whole new level. Yeah, he's good. He's good anyway.
In any condition, he is just, he's. And, you know, I think it's, I definitely didn't write Max off at all. But, like, I think actually he's a serious competitor for the championship again. Because he will be there. And there will be races where he is just quicker because he's quick.
Yeah.
And, you know, Lando is obviously going to be a strong favourite. Piastri is going to be a strong second favourite. I would not discount Max.
No, 100%. No, completely agree. Red Bull is promising because there was a lot of talk over the winter break that actually Red Bull potentially could be the third or fourth quickest car.
Again, it is and it isn't, because is Max just outperforming the car?
Mm.
And it's only going to be promising if they've got two drivers there or thereabouts.
Yeah. No, I agree.
But it is promising for Max's title hopes.
Yeah. Right. Mercedes. Solid weekend. George was consistent. And we've said this before. The thing you get with George, he's consistent. I didn't even see him in that race. I saw him off the start. And then after that, they didn't show him.
Classic, in the right place at the right time.
That is his...
He is always just there. And I don't think we've ever really said a bad word about George Russell. He's a reliable driver.
100%.
You know, 99.9% of the time, you're going to get exactly what you need out of him. Mm. I reckon Mercedes will probably get a couple of wins under their belt this season.
Yeah. No, they look good. And I think George, consistent, nice for him to pick up the podium. Kimi Antonelli, very impressed with Antonelli today.
It was a very impressive drive. Even when he was at the back, he was seemingly the only driver really making overtakes.
Yeah. He overtook, was it Hülkenberg, then had a spin, then had to overtake him again.
Obviously, I know it was against the slower cars and stuff, but, you know, let's not forget, Lewis was stuck behind a Williams.
And let's also not forget, you know, Lawson was in that Red Bull and he couldn't overtake the Haas.
He couldn't get past anyone.
So you know,
Max was matching the McLarens.
So, no, I thought Antonelli did a very solid weekend. He managed to actually, you know, he was unlucky. He had a 5-second penalty, he did get into P4, got dropped back to P5. But some nice overtakes. He would take a lot of confidence from that.
The only rookie to finish in the points.
Yeah.
They're one of two rookies to not crash out.
Mm.
He looked good. I like him.
Yeah. I'm expecting big things from him this year. I think he'll be decent. Aston Martin, not as bad as what we were expecting.
Everyone was expecting Aston Martin to really be off it.
Lance Stroll, a P6.
Yeah, which, you know, it's a circumstantial finishing position.
Still a P6.
You've got to be there. You've got to be in the right place at the right time. And very tricky conditions. A lot of drivers didn't bring the car home.
Mm.
He did. You know, his teammate didn't.
And up until that point, both the Aston Martins were in the points.
It was... I think they'll be... They won't be too disappointed. We know that Aston Martin are not looking at this season as one to sort of be a defining season for them.
No.
It's going to be next season. But they'll still want to be competitive this season because it's good for the team.
Yeah, no, I thought it was a solid drive from Lance Stroll, and up until Alonso's crash, again, a solid drive for him. Alpine, obviously, Jack Doohan, was it like lap two, crashed again. It looked like he just went a bit too much on the accelerator.
It was a sort of a replica crash for all the rookies.
Yeah.
Just a little bit too hot on the...
But the thing is, saying with Jack Doohan, he did get into Q2 yesterday. And, I know some people will say, well, he's in an Alpine. You would expect him to get into Q2. But again, it was a solid... I'd say it's pretty solid qualifying for him. You know, for his first qualifying, I know he did it in Abu Dhabi last year, but actually, with this new, him actually being the cemented F1 driver for this year, I didn't think he did too bad.
Can I just say, with his buzz cut as well, he looks fucking hard as nails.
You wouldn't want to mess with him, would you?
No. He looks like a... I don't want to be disrespectful. He looks like a bit of a dork. But now, hair's off. Yeah, he looks nails. Mm. So, I think, look, again... Jack Doohan, it's tricky for him because I'm sure Briatore's there, I think, like looking at his watch, sort of thinking, yeah, your time is limited here.
Colapinto's warming up in the room next door.
But let's not forget when Colapinto raced in the wet in Brazil, he smashed it into a wall. So it's no different. And, we prefaced this episode by saying we're not going to judge any of the rookies off this. It was unfortunate. Let's see how they do next week.
Yeah.
It might be raining in China, I don't know.
Gasly, up until the last couple of laps, he actually was in the points. He had a very solid race. He ended up finishing P11, but he looked all right. That Alpine looked like he has some pace still.
Stayed pretty close to Lewis most of the race.
It's just he made that error into turn one. A lot of people did.
Yeah,
so.
quite a lot of people made the error there and in the sort of second to last corner. Mm. I think a solid weekend for Alpine. I think, again, it's race one. Nobody is going to be here thinking like, yes, that's it for the season. Other than McLaren, who are going to be extremely happy. I think Alpine will be fairly happy with how the outlook of their season is looking.
No, I agree. RBs. Isaac Hadjar. Felt really sorry for him because he had a very good qualifying yesterday. And then to actually not even start the race is...
And he had a nice moment with Anthony Hamilton.
He did. But... And I think he will learn a lot from that. And it's a shame because I think Hadjar will do well this year. I do.
I do as well. I do think, like I said, he will have nightmares about this. Mm. And it is embarrassing. There's no point lying and saying it's not because it is. But I do think there'll come a point where he'll laugh at it. Mm. And he'll be like, oh my God, get it. That was my first ever F1 race.
I've got a question for you. What's more embarrassing? Hadjar been in it on the formation lap or Liam Lawson's performance?
Honestly, probably Liam Lawson's performance. The fact that your teammate finishes P2 and you are absolutely nowhere near it the whole weekend.
And then you bin it. In the same ways as Hadjar.
I think that is some... And he's not a rookie. I don't care what the argument... He's not a rookie. He raced for VCarb last season. He raced for AlphaTauri the season before. Like, he's not a rookie. Look, Hadjar's is embarrassing because, if he's got good mates, they'll probably take the piss out of him a little bit. And that's fine. It's... Because it's funny. It is, and he will at some point see the bright side to it. And he has got a big season ahead, and it will be easily forgotten. Whereas this Liam Lawson performance is not going to be forgotten. Mm. Because what you've got to remember is Liam Lawson's race was reflective of his actual performance. Mm. Isaac Hadjar's crash is not reflective of his performance. It was just extremely unlucky in treacherous conditions where... A lot of people ended up crashing out.
And
he didn't even get the opportunity to showcase how he could drive.
And Hadjar got into Q2, finished qualified P11. Lawson didn't even get into Q2.
Yeah.
So the whole weekend, yeah. No, I agree. Do let us know on that one. Tsunoda, do you know what? Up until the end, and this seems to be a thing with Tsunoda every now and then, has solid you know, three quarters of the race really solid. And it's for some reason, the last quarter just seems to go off. Because up until the last part, Tsunoda was in what, P5, P6?
Yeah, Tsunoda was running well. It all got chaotic to the end. It did.
Finished P12, so no points for RB, but on a whole, a solid weekend for Tsunoda. I think that, you know, that will boost him a lot of confidence. He did qualify P5.
That's great, by the way. That is unbelievable. Yeah.
There's a lot of positives for Tsunoda and RB to take.
Was he like, he was like 0.2 off max?
I can tell you. He was. So Tsunoda was a 1:15.6. Verstappen was a 1:15.4. So yeah, about
that's incredibly impressive. Yeah. And
I completely agree.
I do think, look, I don't want to sound like a broken record. I know it's first race of the season. But I do think that will have raised some eyebrows in the Red Bull management department. But because there's no, it can't not.
No.
You have to look at that and think, damn, that's impressive.
Mm. All we know is Lawson's got a lot of pressure on his shoulders. He had pressure before going into a big team. After this weekend, he has a lot of people.
Huge amount of pressure. I hope it doesn't get to him, you know. I hope he can.
We've said we want Lawson to do well, you know, to actually, for anyone to get a seat like that and an opportunity, we want them to go on and succeed.
I want to see Max Verstappen have a teammate that is capable of sticking it to him. To a sense, Max is always, nobody is going to come into that Red Bull seat and be better than Max. But you should have a driver that is sometimes able to outperform it. It's happened to everyone. You know, even Checo beat Max a couple of times. Bottas beat Lewis. On the occasion, Barrichello used to beat Michael Schumacher. Webber occasionally beat Sebastian Vettel. But, you know, a lot of Max's teammates have been well off him. Like, way off him.
That aura you must have, or that, you know, confidence. Can you imagine being Max Verstappen going, you know, Max, you got a new teammate. Are you worried that you might have some competition? No?
I mean, here's the thing, like, because I saw the Drive to Survive episode that you're on about where Max is doing the laps around Silverstone. He came and just did 3. And Liam was like 0.2 off. Max Verstappen doing a couple of laps around Silverstone versus Max Verstappen in a race weekend. I don't think it was representative.
No.
And now maybe we're seeing that. Like, you know, could I have been 0.2 off Max Verstappen?
No.
It's a joke.
You can't drive.
I can.
Well, you have a driving license, but...
That's all that matters.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Haas. A weekend to forget. Actually, no, do you know what? Both cars finished. So, fair play. But... Yeah. They looked poor. They looked very, very poor. And
all I will say is Ocon was pretty consistent.
Nice little P13.
Just if you've got a bad car, you've got a bad car.
He did what he could with what he had.
He just drove.
Behrman, on the other hand, again, only race one. But I know we say Behrman is a rookie, and granted, he is. He had 3 races in F1 last year. Saudi Arabia, Baku, Brazil. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's less of a rookie than some of the others.
He is less of a rookie.
But this weekend was a weekend to forget for him. He binned it in FP1. He then went off it. He beached it in FP3. He didn't get out of he didn't even get out for qualifying. He was 40 seconds behind come the end of the race. It could potentially be a very, very long season for Ollie Behrman.
Or a very short season.
Or a very short season. And I know it's only race one, and I hope he turns it around, and I hope he goes on to do well, because we've said before, we like Ollie Behrman, we really want him to go on to succeed, but he's got a lot of pressure on his shoulders.
Yeah. He does. And, you know, he gets the... He's at Haas. He's not going to have the same pressure that Liam Lawson has or Kimi Antonelli has. But it was incredibly poor this weekend. And yeah, I hope he comes to China and he turns it around. But you know, I don't want to sit here and berate him too much, because he knows, or he will know, that it's been a rough weekend, and ultimately next week he needs to keep it on track and he needs to be quicker. It's as simple as that.
And I know he's only two rookies out of them all that finished a race.
At least he finished.
But you know, when you're going that slow, I could probably finish.
Yeah, it wasn't it that, and that is, that would also be a concern.
Sauber, Hülkenberg, P7, 6 points already on the board. Was that more points than what Sauber scored last year?
Yeah, I think it is. So did they get 2 points last year? Was it maybe
for Joel? Yeah. So fair play to, you know, to Hülkenberg. Again, we've said a lot. We like Hülkenberg.
That's what you get from a driver like Hülkenberg, though. Yeah.
Consistency.
He will be, when the opportunity arises. They're not going to get many this season, right? I do think the Sauber looked better than they had probably anticipated this weekend. When you get an opportunity like that, drivers like Hülkenberg take them.
Yeah.
And that's exactly why they got him into the team.
And up until Bortoleto's crash, he actually looked very good as well.
Yeah.
You know, so
that crash was weird. What the hell happened to his rear, his right rear?
Just snapped, didn't
like
it?
Snap. Like, obviously he was in the process of spinning, but it did just snap off.
Yeah. I think there's big things to come for Bortoleto. I really do. You know, getting into Q2, out qualifying Hülkenberg in his first qualifying. I know you can't really read too much into that, but he looked
part of an exciting project as well. Yeah. You know, yeah. Audi next year, it's going to be cool.
Yeah. No, so on a whole, Sauber, well done. Finally, Williams.
Lovely weekend.
Lovely weekend. Carlos Sainz, disappointing for him not to actually finish a race. But for Alex Albon to pick up a P4 is phenomenal.
Yeah. And again, like I said, it's race week one. So I think, other than maybe Haas, who will genuinely probably be thinking, shit, we need to turn this around or it's going to be a long, long season. Williams are going to be looking at that thinking, oh, okay, you know, there's a missed opportunity, but we're good for the season. Mm. We are on the right path. So, yeah, I think they'll be looking forward to China. And I think, you know, the rookies made those mistakes. Carlos Sainz made that mistake. Fernando Alonso hit a similar issue, and that's why we're not berating the rookies, because experienced drivers encountered the same issue today.
Yeah.
It was unfortunate, but I think the Williams looked strong all weekend.
Yeah.
When you compare to, I mean, even last season, look where they were at the start of last season. My God. And then go back a couple of seasons.
Just think, a year ago, they had Alex Albon and Logan Sargeant.
Yeah. And now they've got, Alex Albon's just finished P4 in the first race of the season. You know, both cars got into Q3. They qualified ahead of Lewis Hamilton in a Ferrari. It's like, come on, that's a really impressive turnaround.
No, it's good. Do let us know about that. So, who's your driver of the day?
Driver of the day? That's a tricky one. That is, because
I'm torn between two.
I'm torn between three.
Oh.
Can't not include Lando.
No.
He drove a very, very solid race. He dealt with pressure from his teammate, from Max Verstappen, multiple times. And he brought it home to get the win. Max Verstappen, yeah. I don't think you can, you know, he's a contender for driver of the day, because there's no way he should have been. He stuck with those McLarens for a long time. Got to Oscar Piastri. Like, Oscar Piastri took him, yet dropped off. Fine. Safety car happens. All the commotion. All of a sudden, he's back in contention. Actually, he could have won the race. Very impressive drive from him, because those McLarens, I don't care what anyone says, are clear. Mm. Kimi Antonelli. What a weekend. You know, unlucky to get the 5 second penalty for something that is technically not his fault. Finished P4, but classified P5. But I think it'd be unfair to not give it to Lando, winning the race in those conditions. It would have been incredibly easy to make an error that costs you the race. Mm. Bin it. He came under a lot of pressure. And last season, you know, us included, he got mocked for crumbling a little bit under pressure. And I said he had learned a lot from last season. We'll see that this year. And I think this race exemplified that.
No, I'd agree. For me, it was between Lando and Kimi. Mm. Right, so how the standings look. So McLaren, 27 points. Mercedes, 25 points. If Kimi hadn't got his 5-second penalty, they'd be level in points heading into China.
Yeah. Can I just say, Julian Palmer got this wrong. When he interviewed George Russell, it's your best start to the season since you've been here, as in Mercedes. Not true. I said at the time, Bahrain, 22. Lewis, P3, George, P4. Well, today was George, P3, Antonelli, P5. So, second best start. Get me behind the mic. Do you know what I mean? Like, at least... Because he would have researched that, and he got it wrong. Mm. I just knew it. So F1 good. TV.
So good.
You're looking for someone.
Red Bull, third with 18 points. Williams, fourth. Aston Martin, fifth. Sauber, sixth. Ferrari, seventh.
Shot. A really, really poor weekend for Ferrari. And Ferrari. They should be concerned.
No. So I think that is all Australia. Do let us know about. But I suppose we should look at China.
Mm, yeah, China.
It's you do this now, don't you?
Do you want me to go? You want me to go to China?
If you want to go to China.
I wonder how much it is to go and watch the race in China. You know what? I was looking at Imola. Some of my friends want to go to Italy in May, but they want to go on the bank holiday weekend at the end of May. And I was like, we could go the week before and then we could just go to Imola. €99 for a day ticket, Sunday.
Really?
Cheap as chips.
That's not bad. You can
fly to Milan for £100, catch a train to wherever it is you've got to go to... It's like an hour and a half. I did look it up. I can't remember where it is. And then, yeah, £99 or €99 to watch the race. That's pretty impressive, I think.
What? So, quick question. I know we're going to go on to F1 Fantasy in a bit, but you know yesterday I sent that message to Andy going, well, you're good start. You're like, you know, P1 in the Fantasy already. He's dropped from P1... down to P53.
Wow. Yeah, well, we will touch on fantasy at the very end, so...
That is utterly
stick
mad.
Stick around. But let's look ahead to the Chinese Grand Prix. I've got all my information from BoxBox Club. You can download the app with a 30% discount if you want the Ultra. It is free to download, and you can use all the free features with no obligation. But you can use our link to get a 30% discount on the Ultra version of the app. Okay, but we are heading to the Shanghai International Circuit, right? 5.451 kilometers. How many laps?
56.
16 turns, a top speed of 348 kilometers per hour. 7.3 elevation. I love this track, can I just add? It is a lovely track. For me, it's a proper circuit. I love it. But for us here in Europe, specifically the United Kingdom, if the accent didn't give it away, it's another early weekend for us. So FP1 is at 3:30 a.m. till 4:30 a.m. on the Friday morning. We then have sprint quali at 7:30 till 8:14 a.m. We then have the sprint race Saturday morning. Arguably, this is worse than Australia. 3 a.m. till 4 a.m. That's horrendous, because that really is too late to stay up and too early to wake up. But we'll probably try and do it. Quali, 7 a.m. till 8 a.m. And then we have the race the day after, 7 a.m. till 8
a.m. That's the tricky bit, though, isn't it? Going from the sprint. So that finish at 4.
Sprint to quali. Yeah. That turnover time, yeah.
Because what do? You sleep, you get up, you watch sprints, the sprint race.
Then you've got to try and get instantly back to sleep.
To then wake up again for qualifying.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
It is a tough one. So good luck to anyone partaking in that. We will try and join you.
No, predictions.
Yeah, look,
who's your top three for the Chinese Grand Prix?
Top three is going to be Lando, Piastri, Max. I know what you're saying. That's a safe bet. Yeah, it is a safe bet. Do you know how many times I put Lewis Hamilton in there? Never works out. So, look, realistically, that McLaren is just faster than the rest. So, I wouldn't put anyone else in those first two positions at this point in time.
Yeah, I'm between, after seeing Oscar today, whether Oscar or Lando P1.
Yeah, it did get me thinking more than usual.
I'm going to go a bit different from you. My top three are the same as yours.
Max to win?
Yeah. Oscar, Lando, Max.
Oh, well, that's completely different.
Well, it is, because it's a different P1. Well, no, it's hard. I mean, I'm trying to mix it up a bit. It's a bit hard to change your top three.
I'll tell you what, though. I am surprised that Max is in these, because I was not expecting that coming into this season. No. Purely because, you know, how that Red Bull ended last season, all the rumours that were coming out about the Red Bull, it just goes to show you that no one knows anything.
Are we expecting Ferrari to be better next week?
Hopefully. I think they have to be, but, you know, after this weekend, I'm not thinking, oh, Ferrari will be there. Because they haven't filled me with confidence.
No, they haven't.
And, you know, I think at this point we could be thinking, Mercedes are actually in with a shot. They could maybe get that P3 spot. But the reason I say Max is because Max, not Red Bull.
No,
it's Max. Because of Max.
I agree. Do let us know what your top three is for next for the Chinese Grand Prix, because I can't see anyone else apart from a McLaren win. So, have got some fan questions.
Okay. Well, did you want to do F1 Fantasy first?
Oh, and yeah, then
we'll,
yeah.
We normally end on fan questions. Yeah. So, firstly, I mean, we should break down our teams, because obviously last week when we spoke about F1 Fantasy, it actually wasn't released. We couldn't do it.
This is brutal.
Yeah, this is really...
Just looking at the league, there's one person, Scott Johnson, he got minus 87 points.
Wow, okay, I thought I had it bad. So let me break down my team first. We'll break down our team, Jesus, and then okay. We'll go through the league.
Okay, yeah.
I went for Sir Lewis Hamilton.
Yep.
Carlos Sainz.
Yep.
Pierre Gasly. Nico Hülkenberg. And Isaac Hadjar. My two teams are Ferrari and Alpine. So, okay. I'll tell you how many points I got in a second once you reveal your team.
So, my team...
Also, team name, Andy Retty.
See, mine's just MJack F1.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because everyone, for some reason, people call me Andy. Andy.
Yeah, I did see it. I liked it. I
thought it was quite funny.
It was good name. Good name. I was very indecisive about my team. I sent you how many teams on Friday?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't even look. You just kept popping. I thought, fucking hell, get a life, man. Just pick a team.
So, I've got Lewis Hamilton, Carlos Sainz, Yuki Tsunoda.
Just copied my team.
No. Esteban Ocon, Hülkenberg.
Copied.
I've got McLaren.
Yeah, that's where I made a mistake.
And I've got Racing Bulls.
I went for Ferrari, I think probably from a cost perspective, but I should have gone McLaren's.
That 100 million when you're doing it doesn't get you far in here, does it?
No, I mean, I've got 1.7 mil left over,
yeah,
but what I didn't realise is it's not real cash, so you can't withdraw it. So I might reinvest it into someone a little bit.
Well, so you just thought you can get 1.4 million back?
1.7.
Points-wise, how many did you end up with?
Not good. It's minus 15 for me this week.
Well, I'm plus 49. So I had quite a successful...
I had Sainz and Hadjar.
Yeah.
And obviously Alpine, who then didn't finish in the points and lost a driver. So Sainz got me minus 19. Hadjar got me minus 20. And then Alpine got me minus 15.
So...
Hülkenberg got me 16 points. Ferrari got 19 points somehow. Gasly got none. And Lewis got 4.
I don't know how did Gasly not get any points, but Ocon got 6.
I think it's to do with where you, if you, positions you gain.
Oh, I see. McLaren got me 59. Sainz, minus 19. Hülkenberg got me 16 points. Ocon got me six. But when you're looking at the table now, so I'm...
Someone on 189 points.
194?
Yeah, that's what I meant. I don't know why I even said 189.
Lando Norris, he put three triple on him or whatever. Got him 165 points.
Three triple.
I didn't even know you could do that.
Triple points. No, I didn't know, to be fair. Yeah, I mean, but he had Sainz and Hajar. He also had Sainz getting double points for him, so he doubled his negative.
How has he got triple? What's this about?
I think he's cheating.
Because that makes no sense. So, Adam Shard, 194 points, leading it. I'm down in P23.
He's well clear. He is. I just said.
I'm in P23. When you're looking at Luke, he is all the way down in P56 with minus 15. But Scott Johnson, going back to you, minus 87 points. Right, listen to this. Oscar Piastri, minus 10. Sainz, minus 20. Tsunoda, minus 7. Hajar, minus 20. Williams, minus 6. Racing Bulls, minus 27. The only points he got was Leclerc with 3 points.
He probably couldn't have picked a worse.
He had
a worse team.
He had an absolute mare. And I think, actually, though, when you're looking at mine, I'm a bit disappointed because, obviously, Yuki Tsunoda, if he'd finished in the points where he was, he would have picked up points. And actually, the RBs would have then done better as well. But, hey, do let us know. Do get involved as well. And the link is in the description, so do follow us.
Do just join the league.
That's what I meant. it's early. It's only. How's it 10 to 8?
Yeah, I've got to go back to bed.
Yeah,
I'm going out for lunch at midday.
Are you?
Yeah, I need a nap.
Bless. Right, should we finish on fan questions?
Every week we end the show on fan questions. How you submit these is you can either email us. We have a box email. What is it?
Why did you ask me questions when I need to go back?
Well,
it's podcast@boxbox.club.
There you go. So you can send in your emails there if you would like. If you're a brand and you want to work with us, you can also do the same. But the best way to do it is to follow us on Instagram @boxboxpod. I'm still getting used to the adjustment. And we post a story basically before we film, and you can just put your comments, or you can DM us whenever you like.
Right. Ready?
Yeah.
This is from Front Row Entry. Why Ferrari don't use their money to hire strategists like Hannah from RB with some emojis?
Yeah, I mean, Ferrari, notoriously poor strategy. Did seem to improve it a little bit last season from the season before, but yeah, it's... I don't know. I don't know what is wrong with that team. There's always something with them.
Was it you, or did both Ferrari drivers today just have enough of both of their strategists? Just leave us alone.
Well, the engineers...
K1.
Yeah, they were both sort of like to their engineers, can you leave me alone, please? Yeah. And yeah, the strategy just off it. I don't know. They must know it's an issue. Let's see, it's race one. There's no need to be that dramatic.
No. Ryan Kendall, who impressed you guys the most?
Antonelli, to be honest.
I'd say Antonelli, but also I would say Lando Norris actually impressed me today.
Lando Norris was very impressed.
There's a lot, as we said before, a lot of question marks whether he can step it up from last year's. You know, he made some mistakes last year. That was actually a very, apart from going off track at one point, a lot of cars did, but that was a very professional drive today. He did exactly what he needed to do. He controlled it very well. I'd probably say Lando Norris. Do you think McLaren has it in the bag this year? No matter where Lewis was, there's still hope. There is no hope.
There's no hope. McLaren will win this. It's realistically it's probably Lando's, but Oscar is well within a shout and never write off Max Verstappen, but This is McLaren's year.
Will Red Bull regret taking Lawson instead of Tsunoda?
Potentially, yeah. But, you know, it's too early to be like, oh my God, we've made the wrong decision. It's one race, right? But it's definitely going to... It will play on their mind a little bit. It'll be like, oh, fuck, I really hope we haven't made the wrong decision. needs more time. One race is an incredibly difficult race, but let's be honest, qualifying wasn't difficult.
No.
That was in perfect conditions. So, yeah, they should be slightly concerned, but they shouldn't be excessively concerned.
Will Ferrari, it's a bit of a weird one, will Ferrari be thinking that they've regretted taking Lewis Hamilton after today's performance?
Not really. It wasn't like particularly shocking. It wasn't, you know, he finished like two places behind Charles.
And it wasn't like Charles actually walked away with it either.
Yeah. No, I think at this point, Ferrari will probably be regretting more the decisions that they made about the car over winter.
Mm.
Because, yeah, not too impressive today. I don't think Hamilton is going to be of any concern to them at this point in time.
No, I agree. Right.
That is the end of the show. It's bedtime.
Hopefully you've enjoyed the episode. If you have, make sure you check us out on all social media. If you're watching on YouTube, hit subscribe, like, share. What else can you do on YouTube?
You can comment down below.
And obviously you can also check us out on our Clips channel as well, which is a link description below. But yeah, thank you very much for watching. Luke is off to bed. It's been a...
Are you not going to bed?
No. I'll just stay up now.
Nah, I won't be able to.
No. Have a good week, and we shall see you next week for a brand new episode. Bye-bye.